Right now it is time to bring in our friends from the Berkshire Edge. You can find them, of course, theberkshireedge.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can find them here every week, except when they go to opera and stuff like that. And vacations, we bring in, once again, Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It actually has been a couple of weeks since we've been here, so...
Well, you've been busy birds.
Well, we have been busy birds, and we had, one of the weeks we had a on Tuesday night down in
Germantown.
Germantown, thank you. We hosted a conference of local online newspapers of sort of what is the future of local journalism, which was very interesting. But it ran very late, and we didn't think we would be able to. Be ready for you in the morning. So that was one excuse.
But Marcy, just people that aren't ready for Jill and I most any time.
That's
all
right.
Here we are. It's not just you, so don't worry about that.
All right. No. Here we are. Okay, nice to hear your voice.
And it's nice to hear you guys again.
And David is here too.
We will start off with attorney Andrea Harrington, running for district attorney.
Well, she's not the only woman running for district attorney. The DA, David Capeless, announced that he was not going to run to seek re-election, but he designated his assistant to be his successor, which annoyed a great number of people. That, it's the voters who decide, not you, Mr. Capeless. Andrea Harrington took up the challenge, but I had a late breaking email this morning that from Judy Knight, another attorney from Great Barrington, who is also going to run, and she ran in about 15 years ago. She challenged Capeless and lost, but she's going to try it again.
And Andrea Harrington also ran, I guess it's 2 years already, against, she ran for state senator and lost to Adam Hines, who who is now our state senator, replacing Ben Downey, who had retired from the office. So, she is very eager to be in public life, and she's smart and feisty. So, she'll run a good campaign. She ran a very good campaign the last time. And, Adam Hines, who is doing a very good job, was much better known and much more sort of connected with the Democratic Party, the Pittsfield Democratic Party, than she had been. But she ran a good campaign, and it was, a lot of people were having a difficult time selecting between the two of them. So, she's eager to get into public life. She's a native here. She, practiced law elsewhere and then came back to the Berkshires. So we'll see. I mean, it should be interesting.
Her big challenge is that there's the Democratic machine up in Pittsfield,
right.
And that's hard to overcome because there's so many voters up there.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because years ago I ran for the school board as a write-in candidate in Salisbury, and the Democratic Party in Salisbury is extremely, extremely strong, and well put together and well run, and so I ran as a petitioning candidate, and I only lost by 100 and some odd votes.
Wow.
I think it was 100. I forget now. It's a long 125, 150 votes. But it was a close race. But when you have a well-run organization, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and you're trying to get into that, and you are considered an outsider, even though you're a Democrat, it's really tough. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, right.
You're not placing blame. It's just what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, right. I mean, they have relationships that have been developed over years they know everybody. You know, I mean, she knows a lot of people too, but not like, you know, not like the
not
Democratic
like that.
Machine. It's not like that, right?
Right.
So we'll see.
All right. Well,
but you know, there was always this lingering question of why Capeless resigned, which has not been resolved. But at any rate, you know,
it'll all, what's the old thing? It'll all come out in the wash.
Hopefully.
My grandmother used to say that.
But slowly.
You can lie to me. You can lie
well,
to me.
We're going to
hasten scrub it?
We're going to be scrubbing the clothes to
okay.
find out.
Put it on a heavier cycle.
All right. All right. Well, here's something that will go on again that is a reoccurring. And that's the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee. Now they've taken the first step going to upgrade Monument Mountain Regional High School again.
Oh.
Here we go again.
Yeah, a couple
it's
of years.
Only 2 years, David, that we rejected that. I think it's more than that.
No, maybe it's 4 years.
Yeah. But, you know, we had this opportunity 4 years ago. The state offered us $50 million to upgrade Monument Mountain, but it was going to cost the local taxpayers. How much? $25 million or
yeah.
something. And then we would have had a state-of-the-art school. And a campaign was run against this, against taking this state money. And the campaign was that, you know, that the school population is dropping, and why should we bother fixing up our school, because we should be thinking about merging other schools. And so people voted it down, and we missed our chance. And Great Barrington voted it down.
But there's a three-town district. The other two towns supported it.
Right. But Great Barrington voted it down twice.
Right.
So we lost our place on the list. And now here we are 3 or 4 years later. You know, the school is really falling apart. They're trying again to get back on that state list. It's only, you know, and the town has had to pay anyway to keep the school up. I mean, it leaks. And it's not, you know, it's not wired for modern teaching. And, you know, it's kind of a vicious cycle, in my opinion, that if you have a really good school, people will come. If you don't have a really good school, people won't come. And so, therefore, the school population continues to drop.
And here's the thing, which we face in Region 1, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a dwindling population, but you still have to serve the students and the teachers.
And you're still being taxed for it.
You know, that's you're a school district. That's your job, and it doesn't matter. You know, you've got to make the building. You got to give the kids, the students, the ability to learn.
Well, yes, and the problem is, you know, that, you know, I mean, not that that was the argument 4 years ago also, and that you know, we have an obligation, and this is public education, and this is one of the things that makes America great, that we have good public education. But people kept saying, well, the school population is dropping, well, it doesn't really matter, they can go to other schools. So, people ignored that. It doesn't bode well for the future of this area, where we really need well-educated students in order to attract good jobs, and we need a good school in order to attract more population. It's a question of whether you save money or whether you have a good school.
You know, I'll say this. I've voted against many a school budget, okay? I have yet to vote against a well-prepared budget that improves the facilities of the schools,
right,
or upgrades the facilities of the schools.
Right, right.
It's your basic responsibility as a taxpayer to make sure that the students in your community can be educated well, and responsibility to the teachers to provide a situation where they can teach at their highest level.
Right, right.
I mean,
Well, I mean,
in my view, that oddly enough, the people who were leading the charge against this were the wealthier people that live in Great Barrington.
who are older and have no kids
in the school, and they just don't want to pay any more taxes.
Well, it's,
and they were all living up on what is called the hill, where all the higher priced houses are, and they are just a very selfish up.
It's a selfish look at being a part of a community.
Yeah.
That's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Right.
You can't say any more.
Or you can say you can safely diplomatically say it's not community minded. How about that?
It's not community minded. No, it's not.
End of story.
And also there was just a lot of misinformation being spread around. One of which is if you vote it down, the state will do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the state didn't do it anyway. They moved on. They gave the money to somebody who wanted it.
Right. Big surprise.
I mean, they didn't. Yes, right. And they didn't do it anyway. And it's 4 years later, and the school is in worse shape. And now we're trying to get back on the list again.
All right. Well,
anyway, let's move on.
I want to move on to those rich people on the hill.
Right.
This is a great story. I must say, I have to compliment David because he put this together. You know, he discovered that Trump's Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, has purchased a $3.2 million house in Great Barrington, and he did it by being a really good reporter and detective.
Well, what happened was I was doing my dreary job of going through the real estate transactions and preparing them every Friday, and I was looking at I always say, well, what's going on in Great Barrington? I look and say, holy, what is this? $3.2 million, Wilbur Ross?
No,
and I thought,
W. Ross.
And I said, that can't be.
Well,
it's really not a lot of money for Mr. Ross.
What's nice about that now is it gives people in Great Barrington and South County another place where they can protest.
Well, you know what's odd is
why does he want to come here of all places?
Well,
because he wants to vote down school budgets.
That's right. No.
Right. Apparently so. Right.
There's more history there, though. There's more local history.
But the odd thing is, the person who owned that property and sold it to him is a real radical,
progressive.
Yeah.
Bobby Houston, an Academy Award winner, and earned an Oscar. And leads a Green Tea Party, which is opposed to everything in the Trump administration, and is leading the charge to get rid of John Faso over in New York District 19. You know, so
he can finance his political activity.
Right.
We'll change the thing. Not only does politics make strange bedfellows, but high-priced real estate makes strange bedfellows.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that there are a number of comments on this story that said, the people said, how could you, Bobby, how could you dare sell to somebody from the Trump administration?
Right, and we got an email which we passed on to the realtor, you know, the realtor who said, I hope this doesn't mean that you're becoming a Trumpster. You know?
But what I would say is, hey, if you guys want to pony up that money, I'm happy to, you know, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, but the thing is that this story went viral.
Yeah.
The Boston Globe picked it up. The AP picked it up.
Politico. It was on Politico. Yeah. Yeah, it was all over
the place. It was on Politico, yes. it was amazing. So
the point is the Berkshire Edge, they spelled it right.
That's right.
Yes, right, exactly.
Okay. That is,
well, you know, I want to move on here because this is a story that is an interesting story, and to see how well it will go along in Sheffield. Christopher Weld not only wants to be the distillery, but he wants to also have a special permit for marijuana.
Right.
Well, he's just, the recreational substances, he's got a monopoly on it, doesn't he? He's got a corner on that market. He's got, you know, Berkshire Mountain gin, Berkshire Mountain vodka, and now he's going to have Berkshire Mountain marijuana.
Do you think the town will go along with it?
Probably will.
Okay.
You know,
Sheffield did vote for legalizing marijuana.
They did.
But,
they did. Yeah. Yes. In fact, you know, there was one notorious episode where there was a selectman former selectman who was, in fact, before the legalization, was caught. Ted Dobson, who runs an organic farm and is famous for his organic arugula. And in the arugula were also some pot plants. And he got caught growing pot amongst the arugula. But those days, gone are those days. So Sheffield is considering, you know, having a, this would be a real emporium run by the Berkshire Mountain Distillers.
You know, I think we talked a few weeks ago, there's another big fight going on in New Marlborough because there's somebody who wants to turn a very big piece of vacant land into a marijuana farm. And the town is going crazy. I mean, there's tremendous opposition to it. Not because they're opposed to marijuana, but they're opposed to the fact that there are going to be lights on. There's going to be guard dogs and a fence and lights on all night. And, you know, this is a very rural area, and people who are abutters, you know, don't want the dogs and the lights. I don't think anybody is objecting to the growing of marijuana. So I don't know. Maybe David knows, you know, how big a growing operation Christopher Weld wants to have here. I mean, he definitely wants to sell, but I think the only place that he might run into some problems is if he also is trying to grow in, you know, in any kind of sizable operation, because that, you know, that is inconsistent with the rural nature of his town.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, this is a... Well, on the other hand, you know, this is sort of like an industry. It's like a big, it's an agricultural industry. So we'll see how the town of Sheffield deals with this.
Right. The next story on our list has to do with this seasonal weekend rail service called the Berkshire Flyer. You know, we have a terrible problem that you can't get to the Berkshires by train. You can get to Albany, but you can't get.
You can get to Wasaic.
You can get to Wasaic at the end of, but that's still 35 miles south of Great Barrington. So, and that's the end of the Metro North line. So, Adam Hines, among others, has proposed this idea of a seasonal weekend rail service to the Berkshires by extending Metro North, which comes...
No.
Metro North. I mean Amtrak. Excuse me. Extending Amtrak, which goes to Hudson, to have it continue on to Pittsfield. So this seems to be gaining some traction, although it doesn't really solve our problem. I mean, it's an expensive trip. It goes to Pittsfield. I mean, if I am in Great Barrington, it's no closer to me.
I was going to say, whether you drive to Pittsfield or whether you drive to Wasaic, Hudson. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, it's not a solution. It really isn't. Mm.
Well, and it ends up in it ends up in Penn Station too, whereas the Wasaic, Metro North line
goes to Grand Central,
which is much more convenient and companionable.
the reason is there
was a proposal 3 or 4 years ago for the train to go from Pittsfield south to Connecticut and then to New York. But Connecticut, while the Massachusetts portion, the state put up the money for that, Connecticut is in some fiscal crisis at the moment, and so they didn't buy into it.
Okay, you could take the word crisis, fiscal, out and just go, Connecticut's in crisis. Never mind fiscal.
Oh, in crisis.
Yeah, right.
But that would make more sense, that line, the Housatonic line. Yeah. It would hit every Berkshire town, including the cultural centers like Great Barrington and Stockbridge.
And Lenox.
And Lenox.
Yeah. Right.
And it would go into Grand Central. It would probably, but in any case,
that's not happening.
All right. What's
not yet.
Okay. Maybe in our lifetimes. Who knows?
Maybe.
Finally, political analyst Duke Snyder.
Right.
Ah, Duke Snyder, the good old Duke. Yes. We've been running this series called Smoke Signals from the Swamp. And we have this political analyst, goes by the name of Duke Snyder, who has been doing a marvelous job of dissecting the corruption in the Trump administration. So his latest is he's focusing on Jared Kushner, it's quite interesting. I think your readers will find that the Duke is far ahead of Robert Mueller there with in his investigations in Washington.
Also, let anybody wonder what our political persuasion is. We also had an article yesterday by our regular weekly columnist, Carol Owens. She does a historical piece every week, which are, we've talked about before. I mean, they're fascinating articles. But yesterday, and they come out every Tuesday, and yesterday she did a very interesting one on the making of a dictator, comparing what's going on in the Trump administration with the making of dictators in the past, and it was really quite strong and very well researched. It got a lot of comments, as you can imagine, but so the Berkshire Edge is clearly not on the side of President Trump.
I would say so.
Right.
In other words, we're not Sinclair Broadcasting.
It's funny you said that. I was just going to say, well, gosh, you guys aren't going to watch any Sinclair TV station.
No,
there is one in Albany. I think it's Channel 6 in Albany is a Sinclair.
God.
Is that right?
Channel 6,
it used to be CBS.
Yeah, I think it is CBS, but CBS.
But they bought it.
But they bought it. So I think Channel 6 is Sinclair, yeah.
Well, that's not an O&O, though. It's not a CBS O&O.
No.
So the local can affiliate with whoever they want.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, there's a lot more than that in theberkshireedge.com, and it's nice to have you guys back.
Thank you very much.
Nice to be back.
Nice to talk to you.
All right, take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
This week in the Berkshire Edge here on Robin Hood Radio, and you can find them, of course, online, theberkshireedge.com, and you can find this show on our on-demand page, which is on demand, theberkshireedge.com.